Melissa Berkland is the president of the Fargo School Board. Now, here's the thing. Oftentimes, and I'm not trying to throw anyone under the bus here, but if you ask school board members to come on and you say, you know what, come on, we want to talk to you about some issues, some tough issues, some positive issues, all of these type of things, oftentimes you get the, well, you have to talk to the superintendent. You know, we have to, you know, I think people deserve to hear from their school board. And Melissa is just that. She's the president. She's in studio and I get to visit with her. Welcome back on News and Views.
Thank you so much for having
How
me
you
this
been?
Morning. I've been really well.
Still glad you got this job?
I'm really grateful I have this.
Good. Good, good. Because quite frankly, I think you're good at it. From afar,
you.
It's easy to see. Now, obviously, it isn't all hugs and kisses. I mean, this week has been an interesting week for you guys.
It absolutely has been, yes.
Now, the state mandated that you show a video. It doesn't have to be, they don't tell you what video, do they?
Well, that's a great point. So, we'll just cut right to it. This has kind of been called the Baby Olivia controversy because the video is about a fetus called Baby Olivia.
And the development.
And the development of that. Right. And the legislature, when they introduced this bill, had this video on the ready. And the Department of Public Instruction currently only has this video listed as one that that complies with the statute. So
Kirsten Baszler's office only has this video.
That is correct. So I checked yesterday. Yes, and there's a they have the statute, and then at the bottom it says, and the Baby Olivia video complies with this statute. So I'd imagine that there are others that would, but right now the Department of Public Instruction only directs that this one is compliant.
Okay, so. Number one, the law states you have to do this.
Correct.
Number two, this is the one that the Department of Public Instruction says that meets the criteria.
Correct.
So number three, the Fargo School Board says we're going to follow the law and we're going to do what DPI says we have to do.
Sure. And just to kind of nuance this a bit, in our administrative policies, we clearly give the superintendent and administration the empowerment to develop curriculum, and the school board kind of steps away from that in a bit. So my understanding, and I've talked to Dr. Gandhi extensively about this, is that when they look at the statute and they look at the directives from Department of Public Instruction, they believe that the safest thing to do to comply with the statute was to show the video that was the only one listed as compliant.
Well, you got in some trouble for that.
We certainly did.
You
yes.
did. There were yep. some people saying that the video was inaccurate,
yes.
that it was misinformed, that it, you know, speak to that if you would.
Sure. So a lot of the complaints that we are getting, and we've been contacted by over 100 community members about the problems of the video, is that it dates fetal development in a way that is not accepted by the medical community. And so what I mean by that is that it dates from fertilization instead of a woman's last menstrual period. And so what that means is it's really skewing a timeline. So if people make moral decisions about how they view abortion laws based on a timeline of fetal development, this really manipulates that because it's giving information and dates in a way that is not accepted by the medical community.
So this literally takes us to the same place where we're having an argument or a discussion about in vitro, for example.
Sure. Yes.
I mean, yeah. So it's like, where's the common sense? I mean, this is all thrust upon you and required by law. Now,
right.
West Fargo didn't choose this video.
Right. And I'll just be completely candid. I know that we might be among a handful of schools that are showing it. I know that several are not. I don't know how those administrations came to that conclusion. I only know what Fargo Public Schools did. So I'm not.
But isn't that a question you should be asking Dr. Gandhi?
You're right. Yeah, absolutely. And I will say we have a formal procedure for challenging curriculum within the policy, and that process has begun. So there's been a parent that has formally tried to challenge this curriculum, and it goes under a committee for review. We've been given videos that are suggested as an alternative that would also be compliant with the law. So we are now under the review process, or I should say we as in the administration and Dr. Gandhi and the curriculum committee. So I think things are being looked at closely, and you're absolutely right. We should be wondering what else are we showing?
Well, you're pooched either way. I mean, you don't have a win scenario here. You're forced to do something by law. DPI said this one meets the criteria. Dr. Gandhi said this is what we're going to go with. If you pull it, the pro-life people are going to go nuts on you. If you keep doing this, the people that from the scientific community are going to say you're wrong. I mean,
no, you're absolutely right. This is it's a rock and a hard place situation, and we have already gotten emails from community members that are asking us to keep the video. So
should more homework had been done before this video was chosen?
That's a great question. I will say we are showing another video that has been shown for quite some time. It's through Discovery Health. It's scientific based. It's research based. I think the administration, given the climate, made the best decision that they could with the information that they had.
Has the board itself made the best decision by giving total control of curriculum to the superintendent?
I think for the most part, that is a system that works. I think as school board members and with a policy governance model for administrating the school, I think we're going to be less politically reactive if we allow professionally trained individuals to select curriculum rather than having elected officials select curriculum.
Okay. So what process is there? And I think you just spoke to it a little bit in the protests against this, but what process is there if Joe, you know, John Doe calls Melissa Birkeland and says, look, I voted for you. I helped to get you elected. I don't like what's going on in the school with the curriculum. I want you to work on this if you can. I mean, how do you get a right to challenge that then if you give that authority to him?
So the school board, the one and only employee that we manage and supervise is the superintendent. So I think in some ways my hands are tied as a school board member. I can gently nudge Dr. Gandhi to take a hard look at this policy, and then I would direct this individual to go through our formal process that's in place to challenge curriculum.
Do you think DPI got this right? Or do you think they did their homework?
I think it was difficult. I think when you have a politically motivated entity that's trying to push legislation through and they give one option and, you know, it's not in DPI's wheelhouse to create instructional videos of ultrasounds. I think in some ways their hands were tied, and I can see why when the legislature passes a statute and directly references something that might be adopted.
If you were a legislator, would you have voted for this policy?
I would not have.
Okay. There. All right. When we come back, I want to talk about your strategic plan. I want to talk about long range. You've got schools that you're going to have to build, whether people like it or not. They don't want to lose their community school. And you know what? Those are issues that you have to deal with as well. So we got you now.
All right.
We're not going to let you go with it.
All right.
Melissa Birkeland is our guest. She's president of the Fargo School Board. We talked about the really tough issues as though this one isn't going to be. I want to talk about the strategic plan that you set out for the Fargo School District. Speak to that.
Sure, yeah. So on Tuesday night, we approved a new strategic plan that's going to be now aligned with our operational plan. And I think the benefit for the district is that we are going to have very specific and what I would say very aggressive and high goals for achievement in our schools, and those are going to be directly tied to operational standards. So it was really exciting to read through the document. I think the administration put a tremendous amount of work into developing it, and it was unanimously approved by our board. So
okay, well, that's a step forward.
Absolutely, yes.
How much feedback did you get from the public on that?
You know, that those tend to be items that we get less feedback for. I think
which is surprising because then everything else is reactionary. They don't look at it the way you did.
Right. No, and I mean it was a dense, you know, over 40-page document that has ties to a lot of different areas of our work, and I mean it is a meaty document to get through, so in some ways I'm not surprised, but I don't believe that we had any emails about that.
If you want to bring out a lot of passion in residents of Fargo, you just ask the question of whether or not some of these neighborhood schools need to go away.
Sure.
And need to, I shouldn't say go away, but need to be more practical in terms of the number of students they teach, in terms of, you know, keeping up infrastructure, in terms of the cost. I mean, the passion comes out. I saw it here,
yes.
You know, where I work. And so What's the plan when it comes to the long-range plan with infrastructure?
Sure, yeah. So we, as you kind of touched on, we have started to develop a long-range facility plan. And this started, you know, over a year ago and has developed through a steering committee. And what the steering committee did was kind of take a hard look at our population, at our schools, at them structurally, how many students are going, and try to develop a plan that would capture, get more students in one building, and then also take a look at where are we growing and where aren't we growing. And we've had a lot of community feedback. There's been a lot of intensity around it, and it's still a plan that's developing and being processed. And I think in part because we are taking in so much community feedback.
Where are the problems?
Well, so for example, we have a few schools that have what we call utilization. And that means if you can have 100 students in a school, they have 50 students in that school. So they're at about half capacity. And when you...
Where's that?
So Madison is a school that doesn't have a full population. There's a few, I believe Clara Barton is at a lower utilization rate. So when we're looking at how to spend taxpayer dollars, I think it's really important for us to consider what's the best bang for our buck. And is staffing a school that's half full, is that realistic long term, especially when it's in a community that might not be experiencing a population growth? We have to be really careful about this. And I think we are being really intentional about where we would be consolidating, how that would impact the neighborhood. But I think we really need to take a look at these schools. We also know that in schools where there's a lot of socioeconomic and diversity and all of those students are combined, they tend to do better than if there is just one school that has a very high population of poverty. When you can bring those students in with other kids, there less problems are experienced. So I think,
really?
Yes.
Okay, because that was actually a question I had waiting for you, which is if you're sitting there with a Madison or a Clara Barton and the rooms are half full versus the other ones that are full,
right,
for example, are those kids then in effect in the public school system getting special treatment?
You know, that's a great question. And I would say the answer to that is, in our situation, no, because we also at the same time have developed a plan where we look really closely at class size. So, for example, even in a school that has a very high utilization rate, we're very mindful of our classroom numbers. So there's not necessarily, I mean, what it ends up being is that we're spending a lot of money, yep, to keep those schools open, but we try to honor that commitment to smaller class sizes, regardless of how large the elementary school is.
You can't win on this one either. You know that, right?
Yeah. No, we have said that there's no plan that 100% of our community members are going to be satisfied with. So
is Dr. Gandhi good at his job?
I think he's an excellent superintendent and we're very lucky to have him.
Is he good at speaking to the public?
I think he is. I think he's a great communicator. I think he cares so deeply about our school. And I think that comes across. It certainly comes across to me, and I hope it comes across to the community.
Is the relationship between the Fargo School Board and the Fargo Education Association good?
I would say.
In other words, the teachers, I guess.
Sure. Yeah. I hope so. I think so. I've tried to have presidential sit downs with the current president of the FEA. I've tried to develop a good relationship with him. We had a long and difficult negotiation session, but I believe that the contract that we ratified with the teachers was really great for both sides.
Well, and you got it done.
We got it done. That's a huge thing.
Thanks for coming in.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for not ducking. Okay.
Thank you.